Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. We're continuing on in a message I've entitled God's Ecclesia, and we were looking at examples that are given to us in the Word of God from the life of Samson, who was a judge of Israel. And before we go back and find a comparison, the comparison, unfortunately, of compromise, if you can perhaps give it a connotation, it would be the Samson church, because unfortunately there are large sections of the church world that have been divided. It's really quite simple, on the basis of the Word of God. And many who have gone apostate feel, in fact, I know of historical churches right in the town in which I'm living, that church split because on the basis of those who wanted to be progressive, wanted to be abrasive, felt that just staying with the Word of God was a little exclusive. And as a result, those who believe the Word is the Word of God, that God said what He meant and that what He said, have left and started their own church, and whole denominations have been torn apart on this very principle: is the Word of God, the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And so, beloved, we see many in the church world today seeking to be politically correct, seeking to be seeker-friendly, saying, you know, we really shouldn't talk about the blood. That's just, you know, a little offensive. And let's just, you know, welcome everyone. And of course, the doors of the church need to be open to everyone. But if we preach the gospel, the truth of the gospel, the way it should be preached, it will bring conviction of sin. That's why one of the reasons the Holy Spirit was given. And so a church walking in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit will not affect those who are just want to continue on in their own way, who don't want to be make any changes in their lives, but living a life of self-centeredness and of self-fulfillment and gratification of the senses, that the message of the gospel is contrary to that. We're to have no idols before us. We're to have one love, and that is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people don't want to hear that today. Jesus said, "Narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life. Few there be that find it, but broad is the way and wide is the way that leads to destruction." So, you see, it doesn't matter where the group goes or where the majority of the people are going. It's what will you do with the truth of God's Word? And so let's just take a moment, as I want to read just a few verses from Numbers, the 6th chapter, because it tells us that Samson was a Nazarite. And in the 6th chapter of Numbers, the Lord spake to Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord." Now that's the purpose. It is a holy time of separation to the Lord. There were a number of things. They were not to drink wine or strong drink, no vinegar of wine, any liquor of grapes, not even to eat moist grapes or dried grapes. All the days of his separation he shall eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, and also the hair was not to be cut, because he shall be holy and let the locks of his hair of his head grow, and also should not come at a dead body. He shall not make himself unclean, verse 7, for his father, for his mother. Now this is close of kin, or for his sisters when they die, because the consecration of his head is of God, of his God, is upon his head. All the days of his separation he is holy unto the Lord. And there were a few in Scripture, like John the Baptist and like Samson, who were Nazarites from birth. This man, Samson, was set aside. He was given supernatural power in terms of physical strength. And you know, Paul tells us first the natural, the physical, then the spiritual. And so while Samson was a very mighty man of God, had amazing strength that just could not compare with a normal man, so his spiritual strength should have excelled. But the desires of his own heart, the effect of his own carnality and flesh, caused him to compromise with the world, and that came out in his relationship with a Philistine woman named Delilah. He shared the secret of his strength, which was not to cut his hair, and his strength departed from him when 7 locks of his head were shorn. And as a result, he became a slave, grinding at a millstone. And it wasn't until the end of his life, when his hair returned, it began to grow, that God honored his repentance as he turned back to God. But what are the lessons we can learn? Verse 19 says that Samson had 7 locks. And in many cases, the church today, like Samson, has laid its head of separation, its Nazarite head, its set-apart head in the lap of a sin-cursed world, and they have been shorn of the locks of their power. And so we're going to look at 7 areas that the church of compromise, the Samson church, has erred from the true and the living way. The first is the lock of faith. The church has cut off its lock of dynamic faith. In some circles, they have so humanized the gospel through academic training. In the seminaries, there has developed a humanistic interpretation of everything that is in Scripture. They explain miracles away. They don't believe in them. And it's pervasive in Christian seminaries, even in our colleges. It seems to contradict. If it contradicts human understanding, logic, and reasoning, or scientific protocol, it's simply a matter, well, don't accept it. If you can't explain it, don't believe it. So we have ministers standing in pulpits all across America preaching things that a few decades before would have had them thrown out of their churches. The people would never have stood for it. You know, a person today can be ridiculed, ostracized, if they dare to believe in the inspiration of the Scripture, if they dare to accept the Word of God as the Word of God literally simply reads. The teachings of humanism have come masquerading in an ecclesiastical gown, if you will. This teaching utilizes Christian definitions, but is bereft of the power of the Holy Spirit and scriptural truth. As many modernist preachers say, to them, the Bible really is irrelevant for today's complex problems and lifestyles. We need to make the Word of God, oh, there's wonderful moral principles in there. We just need to make it relevant for the society in which we are living in the 21st century. Have you heard that kind of argument? Have you been around that kind of preaching? There are those of us, however, who still believe in an old-fashioned gospel. When the Bible says hell, it means hell. And when it says heaven, it means heaven. And when it says salvation, it means salvation. The Bible is the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. They have attempted over the centuries to destroy it, to burn the books, the very Voltaire, who said that in 100 years the Bible will be, you know, non-existent. Christians, you know, the Christian faith would be gone. Well, his very house, after he died, had been used to print Bibles. So God's word, heaven and earth, Jesus said, will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And the church has allowed the clipping shears of modernistic humanism to cut off the faith of God. This world, beloved, can never know God by human wisdom or reasoning. This world will never know God by the limitations of the human mind. Only by faith, only as we accept God's word and live in it and live by it and accept it with the faith as of a little child, can we be what God desires us to be. Jesus said, unless you had faith as this little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So, beloved, let our prayer be for those who have gone astray in ignorance or through influence or persuasion. Let's get back to the faith that once was delivered unto the saints. Let's get back to the knowledge of the shed blood of Jesus, that it washes away our sins. That faith brings results, beloved. And if we will believe, we will receive. God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform, you've heard. And blind unbelief, beloved, will lead a person to destruction. And so we need to pray for the church of the living God. There are those that have, through the eloquence and through the apparent intellectualism of those who appear to be learned, who may know, you know, Hebrew or Greek, yet they are devoid of a basic knowledge of the gospel. They don't know who Jesus is. I know I have seen some theological seminarians, they've been talking about some aspect of biblical or historical, the truth, and you can tell. They don't have a son. You can tell they're not saved. And so, beloved, let us pray for, before it's everlastingly too late, that the church will, you know, that the church that's lukewarm, that's turned aside from their first love, will come back to the Lord and repent, and that God will nonetheless have a remnant, those who love him with all of their heart, and they will walk in obedience to the Lord and do those things, do those signs that God has called us to do. The people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Amen. Praise God. I hope your heart witnesses with this word, because I believe it to be the inerrant truth of God's word and his heart for his people. Well, as my time is drawn to a close, I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. We'll continue on with this message, look at the other locks that the church has been shorn of. And also, I invite you to write and share your prayer requests, and pray for your pastors. If you're in a church that needs prayer, the leadership needs prayer, I invite you to write, and we will believe God together. Thank you for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.